All right, if you will, open God's word this morning. Let's look at the book of James, James chapter 1 and verse 27. I have my assignment for me to tackle in this series of Mission 145, and that's from James chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. We're talking about fostering and adopting and advocating. And so if you're like me, you have thought some thoughts and you've heard some things maybe that you haven't thought and heard before. And if that's true, that's a good thing. And that's what we wanted. This is not intended to just like blow you out of your seats. It's intended to start the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in mine about this whole ministry of fostering and adopting. And so what I want to focus on this morning, if you notice in your life point outline, is God's heart for the orphan. And to be honest with you, I've never preached on this before, but it's right here in the Word of God. And so I want to tackle that. So here's the thing. Let me start off with the question. All right, you ready for this? What does Mark Twain, John Lennon, Faith Hill, Marilyn Monroe, Art Linkletter, and former President Gerald Ford, what do all those people have in common, do you think?
From the same city.
What?
From the same city.
No, they're not all from the same city. But that was a good try. No, they're all adopted. Every one of them are adopted. And if you are an adopted child, you're very special. You know, there's something about when you are an adopted child, one of the things that you know, even more so than a child maybe that is born to their biological parents, is every adopted child knows, I was loved by my parents and I was wanted by my parents, right? Every adopted child knows that. That's what comes with adoption. It's kind of like the story I heard about the little boy. He was being teased a lot by his friends because of his adoption background. So he comes out with this cute response. He says, well, he said, your parents had to take you. My mom and dad chose me. That's pretty good, isn't it? I like that. Well, our whole focal point during Missions Month is about awakening, not only in me and those of us on pastoral staff, awakening in our heart, but also in your heart, the reality that you and I who are born again, we have the hope of heaven for one reason. We have the hope of heaven because of God's favor toward us. That the Bible, and the Bible talks about that. Because God did something for us. Fostering and adopting ought to intrigue us when you and I think about it. And that's what I want to get your mind thinking about. It ought to intrigue us. And the reason is because the hill is a place, this is a place where adopted people come together and fellowship with their Heavenly Father because all of God's children were what? Adopted. All of God's kids are adopted. Everyone that He has are adopted. And that's really the first point in our outline this morning. Before I jump into that, which is all God's family was adopted. Look at James 1:27. Let me just read that. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted by the world. So the first thing I want us to think about this morning is all God's family was adopted. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 15, the Bible says, for you, meaning you and I who know the Lord, Paul said, for you received the spirit of adoption. Now listen, by whom, by that Holy Spirit, you and I cry out at times in our life, Abba, Father, which is intriguing. Jesus only said, Abba, Father, one time in his whole life. And that was when he was on the cross. It's the only time he ever said that. But the word Abba is Aramaic for papa or daddy. It's very very close, very, very loving. And it's interesting because, and this is what I want you to know, in January, we're going to be focusing on the on some doctrines of the Bible. I want to just look at the doctrines of Scripture, and we're just going to pull some of them out, and we're going to begin looking at them. And one of them is the doctrine of adoption. You know, people often wonder, am I truly saved? I've had people ask me that all the time. Brother John, how do I know that I'm born again? And that was one of the things that I want to tackle, and we will really in the whole doctrine of adoption. But here's what I want you to know. We'll get into this in January. I'm just kind of whet your appetite. If you are truly saved, if you want to know, am I born again? Is it really real with me? The Bible says, if you are truly saved, then when you're in times of distress, when you're in times of pain, when you're in times of loss, when you go through deep, deep hurt, the mark that you were born again is that when you're in those times, you do not turn from God, you turn to Him. Amen. You go to Him. And because there is inside of you this Holy Spirit of God, and when I am and you are in deep distress and hurt and pain, and when it is dark and you can't see anything, the Spirit of God, if He is in you, He will cry out, Daddy, Papa, Father, I need you. Those who don't have Him say, God has deserted me. He doesn't love me. He doesn't care for me. It's all a bunch of rubbish. And they turn away from the Lord. But the sign that you're born again is that the Spirit of God in you calls out to Him and says, Daddy, help me. Does that make sense? That's the mark of truly being born again. And when we come to Christ, the exciting thing is, my Father and your Father doesn't just forgive me. He adopts me. He forgives me. But He goes further and He adopts me. I go from being a condemned orphan with no hope to being a child of God with no fear. I don't have any fear. I don't have any fear of dying. I don't have any fear of standing in front of Him. Why? Because He's my Father. I call Him Dad when I'm in deep distress. You know, God could have just forgiven me and cleansed me and let that be it. You know, you're saved. You're going to heaven when you die. He could have just cleansed you and forgiven you. But He didn't do that, did He? He not only forgave me, He not only caused me to be born again, but He adopted me. And so salvation has it's concerning passing from judgment to life. Adoption has to do with my inheritance. And I inherit everything in heaven because I have been adopted by Him. Here's the insight in your outline. There are many unplanned pregnancies, but there are no unplanned adoptions. And the thing I want you to understand is God didn't adopt any of us because we're more worthy than somebody else, right? Right. I'm not adopted because I'm better than somebody else. Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 5. Long ago, before God made the world, God chose us to be His very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in His eyes without a single fault. We who stand before Him covered in His love. But then He says, His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by sending Jesus to die for us. Now listen, He did this because He wanted to. God didn't choose me or choose you because there was something in us that caused Him to love us. God did not choose us because we stood out among everybody else. God chose us because He wanted to. Doesn't that make you feel good? You're born again. Why? Because God wanted to save you. God wanted you, and He came after you. And here's the truth. Adoption isn't earned. It's received. In every adoption on this planet, the active part of an adoption process is who? It's the parents, right? The parents do it. That's what the Batistas were talking about. They're the ones that did the moving. So the truth in your outline, if you are saved, heaven is your home, not because you wandered into it, but because God came looking for you. He came looking for you. So all God's family are adopted. Number two, God wants your heart and my heart open toward orphans. And I just want to say thank you during this missions month. I want to say thank you for faithfully coming. And I know that the temptation has been, well, they're talking about adoption. Once they get through this, Brother John will be back in the Word, and we'll be getting into the Word, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. But you've been coming. And I want to tell you why I want to say thank you for that. It is because it has taken you being willing to sit and to listen and to be challenged. And that means that is keeping you from getting stale. How many have seen churches that have stopped growing? Raise your hand. You've seen churches that have stopped growing? You've seen churches that have started dying, started going backwards? Do you know what the key factor is in that? Everybody feels like I've learned all I need to learn, and I don't want to be challenged. Just give me some pablum on Sunday morning. Just make me feel good so I can come and listen, because I'm already doing anything and everything you're going to talk to me about. One of the signs that you're on the road to the grave is you say, I'm too old to learn anything. That's a bad sign. You don't want to be saying that. So if you said that, say, oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Father, for wanting to quit. And I want to say thank you for not being that way, that you sat here for 3 weeks and you've been willing to be stretched, to let us work at stretching you. And it's not always easy. But you sat there, and I appreciate that. Proverbs 31, verse 8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless. Who would that be? It would be the orphan, right? The poor and the helpless. And see that they get justice. Also be a widows, who are widows indeed. Orphans have no voice. These little kids who have no family, they have no voice. They're helpless. So how can we speak up for the orphan from a biblical perspective? Number one, you can open your heart. You open your heart to the plight of orphans. You know, I have to admit, thinking about orphans was something that just happened maybe every now and then in my life. I didn't give much thought to orphans. I just didn't. It's not like that I didn't know about them. They just weren't on my screen. And as believers, we have compassion in our heart. Would you agree with that? I mean, we can be touched. We can be moved to give offerings and everything like that. And we have varying degrees of compassion. But what God is saying is, I want my people to intentionally move toward the orphan and for the widows in distress. Our deacons are concerned about our widows. They are so concerned, they have called them so many times. Some of the women said, hey, if I need you, I'll call you. And so the guys have kind of had to back up. So what does that mean? It just means we don't have a lot of widows in distress. So they're like, if I need you, I'll call you. Don't worry about me. But there are widows who are in distress, and they're the ones we need to be taking care of, particularly, first of all, if they're in the household of faith. Listen to Psalm 10, verse 14. The helpless put their trust in you. You defend the orphans. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will listen to their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphan and the oppressed, so people can no longer terrify them. So how is God going to bring justice to the orphan? You know how he's going to do it? He's going to stir me, and he's going to stir you. That's how he's going to do it. We are his hands and feet. Would you agree with that? That's how God works. It's through his people. Now, a lot of times, you and I define our faith in terms of action. Like, if you think about it, am I doing all right with the Lord? Well, let's see. I tithe. I give to missions. You know, I'm listening to Brother John, so I read the Bible through each year. I've even taken a mission trip. I try to memorize Scripture. But God has a much easier standard, a more sure standard, to let us know where our faith is, and it's our text. Look back at our text again. Religion that God accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so God is saying, it is my heart that you care for the orphans who are among you, that you care for the widows, particularly those in distress. Why? Because that's what God did for us, right? God did that for us. He came after us in our sin distress when we were helpless and we were vulnerable. God came after us. So the Lord said, first thing, I want you to open your heart to those people who are afraid and who have no support, the orphan and the widow. And then number two, I can help them by recognizing my responsibility. To not care about orphans, here's the truth. To not care about orphans is a sin. And I really didn't realize that. Listen to Jeremiah 7, verse 6. This is what God says to Israel. If you do not oppress the alien, that's the immigrant that's living among you. If you do not oppress them, if you do not oppress the fatherless, which would be the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods, then I will let you live in this place in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. So here's what God says. A condition for staying in Canaan was that they would not disregard widows and orphans who had no safety net. You see, in their day, there wasn't anything else to take care of those people. And so if you were an orphan, if you were a widow, by the very definition, that meant you were alone. You didn't have anybody. There was nobody who had your back. And what that meant was you didn't have any income. You didn't have any support. You didn't have any future. And so God says, they're in distress. You remember them who are among you. You take care of your people. And here's the thing God wants us to know. Now, just listen. Foundational to the nature of our God, our Father, foundational to Him is family. God is never alone. Do you realize that? The Father is never alone. Why? Because of what two others? The Son and the Spirit, right? God is always in Trinity, right? This is where you respond. Yes. Okay. God is always with family, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Lord is saying He created the universe because God wanted a family. God is saying family is hugely important. The truth in your outline, for someone to be without a family is unacceptable to the Lord. Jeremiah 5:22. Listen to what God says. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? You do not plead the cause of the orphan that they may prosper. On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? God says, will I not discipline you if you disregard the orphans among you as my people, that you will not take care of them? This is how we spread the good news of Jesus Christ. It's how we take care of widows and orphans. Now, I know there may be some guys here, and I know there surely will be in the next two services. There's probably some guy who's saying, well, Pastor John, I'm a single guy. I mean, what can I do, for an orphan? I'm not married. Let me tell you what the answer is. Even if you are single, you can do a lot. And here's the reason why. God made us men to serve three distinct things in this world. As men, we are guardians. You know, we're the guardians. We're the ones that get up and go to the door if there's a threat that something's trying to come into the room. We're guardians, we guide, and we protect our families. That's how God has wired us. That's how He's made us. Which means what? That is a masculine part that is needed in the life of every orphan. They need a man who will protect them. They need a man who will offer guidance. So the insight in your outline, single men can, like God in Psalm 68, verse 5, be a father to the fatherless. Even a single guy can do that. You can be a provider and a protector of their future. You know how? You can be a friend. You can be a mentor. You can foster parent. You can adopt an orphan. You can be an advocate. How can you be an advocate? You can help a family who is adopting or a foster family. If they have needs, you could help them financially. You could provide some help there. You could emotionally support them as they adopt and foster a child, to have somebody come alongside of them. Here's the truth of your outline. Single men need children in their lives because children are God's defense against selfishness. Did you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hello. Right? That's what kids do. When you have kids, I mean, forget about, well, I wanted this. Well, save that for 18 or 20 years from now. You know why? Because the kids' needs come what?
First.
They come first. Kids protect us from selfishness. Which brings us to number three. Protect children from being orphans. How can we do that? I think I put this in your outline. You can advocate for them. You can be an advocate for them. Now, I've given you some stats, okay? Let me help you fill in those blanks, all right? This is what I want you to know about the state of Texas, our home state. There are presently in Texas 12,643 children waiting to be adopted out of foster care. 12,643. 4% of them are less than a year old. 38% are from 1 to 5 years of age. And 26% are 6 to 10 years of age. Worldwide, there are 138 million orphans. That is one half the population of the United States. Every 14 seconds, a child is orphaned due to the AIDS crisis in third world countries. Last week, when my son Joel was talking to you guys and showed you the picture of his family, of our grandkids, and our three grandkids that were adopted, Weston, Sophie, and Tate. Weston, of course, came from Russia. Sophie and Tate from Haiti. Joel never told you why, as I recall. He never told you why they adopted, other than the move of God on his heart. But why did Joel and Demia, why did they do the foreign adoption? Well, what was motivating their heart was that they asked God to direct them to the countries that he wanted them to go to so that they could adopt children who had the least likely opportunity to ever hear the gospel. And so they wanted to bring children home and put them in some atmosphere where they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to come to the Lord. Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's why they did it. That's why they did it. And boy, did they go through some things. I don't want to chase a rabbit here, but they took an incredible large amount of money to Russia in cash. It had to be in cash. I just had bells and whistles going off inside of me thinking, son, are you sure? You're taking cash money. People knock you in the head for a lot less than that. And so they went over there. They're sitting in the back seat of this car with this woman who's in charge of the adoption. They pull over to the side of the road. There's another car, pulls in a little ways down in front of them. The woman gets out, goes down there, kind of leans in. It's like a mafia scene in a bad movie. And she leans in and talks to somebody, and then she comes back and she says, do you have your money? And Joel's telling us this, and I'm like, and you gave it to her? And so he sticks through the window, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in cash, puts it in her hand. She goes down to the car in front, sticks it in through the window. And I'm just like, this is wrong on so many levels. This is wrong. Y'all could have been shot, you know, but no, this is the way it happens. And so in a couple of days, they go to the orphanage and they see Weston, and they get him bring him back to the hotel room in Russia. The next day, they're in a court of law in front of a judge. It's the way it's done. Craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. But that's the way that it's done. Scared the bejeebers out of me. And so, but they went through all of this. Why? Because of their heart. And so the truth in your outline, adoption is a rescue mission of love, not only for now, but for eternity. Which brings us to the fourth thing, and that is, how do you help orphans? How can we help? We could do that. Opening our homes to orphans isn't natural to any of us. It's not natural. And that's why Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, intriguing passage, read over to, I don't know how many times, but now it just really sticks out. Isaiah 1, 17, learn to do good. And then God tells us what we're to learn. Seek justice, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Isn't that amazing? And it's been right there all the time. We're given some direction regarding, this is Deuteronomy 10, verse 18. God defends the cause of the fatherless, that's the orphan, and the widow. How? Giving food and clothing. So let me give you three ways we can help orphans. Number one, you can relieve their hurt. Relieve their hurt. Matthew 25, 35. Jesus said, I was hungry, you fed me. Thirsty, you gave me drink. A stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you cared for me. In prison, you visited me. For when you did it to the least of these, you did it to who? To me. Jesus said, you did it to me. So here's the truth. We relieve the hurting of orphans by providing food and clothing and shelter. That's one of the things we can do. We can do that. Number two, defend their rights. Deuteronomy 24, 17, do not deprive the fatherless of justice. Remember, God redeemed you from your need. That is why I command you to do this. And this speaks to the whole issue of justice for orphans. And that's why we have these legal ministries for orphans to help them. CASA, court-appointed advocates, you know, for children. And so they need somebody standing up to defend their cause, to help them and take care of them. And then number three, provide long-term solutions. Now listen to me. There's an orphanage in Honduras that we're working through. We're working to help them. And Pastor Ben is going to speak next week. And there are going to be trips we're going to be making each year to go down there. So as you go out this morning, there are some children still to be adopted. $38 a month that you can adopt a child to help give them a hope and a future. And to help this work that's going on there in Honduras, this church that we're going to be working through. And the thing is, if you take a trip, it's very possible you could personally meet the child that you are helping to care for. And so, but here's what I want you to understand. Even though I'm very grateful for that orphanage, listen to me just a minute. Even though I'm very grateful for that orphanage, orphanages are not the best thing for a child. You understand that? That's not the best. Why? Because God wants us in families. And so often when an orphan ages out of orphan care, if they get to 18 and they haven't been adopted, if they've been in an orphanage all their life or for most of the time, there are a lot of times, now this orphanage is seeking to work different because they're seeking to provide those things. But many times those that are in orphanages, when they get out, they don't have a job skill, they don't have guidance how to face the world, and that's why so many of them end up in poverty. Because they don't have that support. But adopting is a powerful thing. Now, I've got a video, a video clip. If you did not see ABC World News this past week, I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday, maybe it's Wednesday or Thursday, there was a clip about an orphan, and we've got it downloaded, and I want you guys to watch it, and then we're going to close. All right, now just watch this about a little orphan girl.
Finally tonight, America Strong, the five-year-old girl and the message to her mother. This is five-year-old Gabby, adopted from China when she was four. Her big sister Lily was also adopted from China. And here she is talking to her mom about her adoption and about her sister Lily.
I came to the little babies.
And this is the moment Gabby tells her American mother how she felt the day they met in China.
We was very excited to meet you and our daddy.
Aww.
And we love you guys, and we want to be here for you and daddy.
Aww, and I was very excited to meet you too.
Gabby, then talking about what the adoption did for her heart.
Well, you know what happened to my heart?
What happened to your heart?
Well, when the first time I told you, when I saw you, my heart fell in love with you.
Your heart fell in love with me? Oh, my heart fell in love with you too.
Now us too. Tonight, the family telling us we are thankful this precious message is spreading worldwide, and our hope is that more hearts and homes are open to adoption because of precious Gabby.
When I saw you, my heart fell in love with you.
Is that not precious? Oh, wow. That'll get your heart. All right, go out there and adopt somebody. All right? I want to see those cards flying off the table. All right? Let's stand together, would you please? Children are meant by God to have a mom, a dad, and siblings. Children are meant to be in a home where they interact with family. And maybe you're saying, Brother John, I'm about your age. I'm too old to be adopting. Well, then you need to pray for your kids. That maybe what God is wanting is for you to be a grandparent. Adoption caught Catherine and I by surprise. When Joel and them began talking about that, it was a ball from left field. I never even considered that. But I cannot tell you how it has changed our lives. And it has stretched us. It has taught us so much. And I want to encourage you as you're leaving this morning to go to these tables, look at those kids that need to be adopted. $38 a month can change a child's life. And you stay with them until they reach 18, helping to support them. But I want to encourage you, go to the M145 table and you can learn about advocating or foster care or adoption. They can help answer your questions. Please go by there and just talk with them. And I want to encourage you to join a group that we're building here on the Hill, and that's a group of adoptive families and foster care families. We're gonna build that group, and we're going to grow in that. We're going to support each other and do life together, and you can be part of that, all right? So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the ministry of your word. Go with us now as we leave this place, this house of worship. But, Father, stay close in our hearts, and we will hear you and what you want to say to us regarding adoption and foster care or being an advocate, that we learn how can we do this. What does that look like? And Lord, is this something you want us to be a part of? And so thank you, Father, for what you'll do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God.